Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another Unstoppable podcast with your host, Megan Farrell. Today, I have my friend Steve Fry with the Fry Group out of Nashville. And Steve has done some amazing things in this real estate market and has even brought his family in on board as well. And I cannot wait for him to share his story. I don't want to go into steal his thunder. So, Steve, welcome. And tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell everybody in our audience who Steve Fry is.
Absolutely. Thanks, Megan. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on the show, first off. Yeah, so I'm Steve Fry. I live here in the Nashville, Tennessee market. Grew up here most of my life. I am currently married after 30 years with my wife. We met at our high school sweethearts. We have two boys as well. Both of them are actually realtors that work under my team now. One's 26. His name's Logan. And one is 23, Bailey. So we have our own little, as you mentioned before, we have our own little Fry Group real estate team that we work not only just the Nashville market, but kind of all over the Middle Tennessee area. I did that initially, not by design, but also to try to just get as much business as I could when I first got into this world, switched over from corporate finance a few years ago. But when I cast my net pretty wide when I first got into the market, of course, trying to get as much business as possible. And that kind of stuck a little bit. That's good and bad. I mean, we've had a lot of success. We've had a lot of business. But at the same time, I mean, we're kind of known now to kind of go all over the Middle Tennessee market. So that's, like I said, good and bad things.
Right. You're everywhere. Everywhere.
Yeah, sure. Everywhere. Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, yes. And we'll get people the links to how to find you after we get through this podcast here too, because I can just really read your credentials and what you've done. But some of the things that have really stood out to me mm-hmm. when you sent your bio over is in 4 years, I mean, the amount of, you know, the money in real estate that you have done, the amount of homes, 200 plus properties. I mean, that is amazing. And mentorship, yeah. I'm sure you get asked a lot by people, especially you've been when markets are high, when markets are slower, and how you pushed through and still had a very successful business. One question I want to ask, because some people that I know are thinking, do I stay in real estate? Do I get out of real estate? Do I get my license? What is your analysis on what's going on in the market today and what you give somebody that's really not been as busy or successful as you in the market?
Sure. Yeah. And I get that. Like you said, I get that question pretty often. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I first got in the market, I had a corporate finance background. So I do feel like that having that corporate experience and organization kind of did help getting into the real estate game. Mm-hmm. I mean, from the outside looking in, real estate looks fun and it is fun. It can be fun. There's a lot of great networking. You get to work with your friends and family sometimes, and you get to see some cool houses and you just get to experience a lot of great things. It's also a lot of work. And I think everybody doesn't get that until they actually get into the business. There's a array of things that can happen. I mean, there's any which way the deal can go bad. It does. So you've always got to be ready. And you also have to be really prepared and experienced to be able to navigate your clients kind of through those areas. So I think the first thing I always tell people is just if you're going to get into real estate, educate yourself as much as you can before you get there. If you're already in real estate, if you're new to the game, just absorb as much information as you can. I mean, getting on, listening to podcasts like yourself, you've got a great podcast. And I know you do some amazing things with empowering women and just people in general in the Nashville market. But soaking up as much education as you can, and not just the surface level, but kind of diving in and really understanding, because you're going to be dealing with people's lives, their money. We don't proclaim to be attorneys. We don't proclaim to be mortgage lenders. We got amazing people for that kind of stuff. But you do need to know your way around those areas so that you can help to guide people and put them in touch with the right folks. And then if things start to go wonky with the deal, you got to know how to navigate out of that. So that was my very first experience in real estate. Is I just dove into the numbers and understood as much as I could. I brought my corporate finance background into the real estate world by just trying to educate and dive into the rental information, what markets made what kind of money, and when you first get into real estate too, it's you know, you're looking for, most people look for friends and family to try to sell to. That works, you know, great for maybe 3 to 6 months. Sometimes it doesn't work great. I didn't count on that. I mean, coming from a corporate background, I wanted to make sure I had a steady stream of income. I was more concerned about keeping the lights on as opposed to just being a fun little hobby. So I educated myself. I dove in and I figured out as much as I could. And then I started pushing myself as a resource and my experience out to the market for people that were looking to invest in the Nashville and Middle Tennessee markets. So that was my first big kind of leap that got me going. And it was all about the investors on the front end. And then the residential stuff kind of, you know, came along after that. So the business is starting now to come from different directions. I'm a pretty heavy referral-based agent.
Right. Yeah.
After 4.5 years, which is where you want to be. I mean, you don't want to be chasing leads all the time. So, but education, I know that's a long-winded way of saying education, but it's education.
Yeah, I agree with that. I always tell people all the time, because like when I first went into, you know, helping Bell with their marketing, I didn't know anything about title. And I'm like, why would John and Delana want to bring me on when I didn't know anything about title? But what they saw was I knew relationships and I knew people. Yeah. And I think that's within any business that you're in. You have to be a relationship builder. And like that night, you know, you came to one of our happy hours. You have to be out and networking. And I think so many people forget that sometimes. And it's so important, because even if you are successful, you know, as you still chose to come to networking events from time to time when you can make it, because you never know who you're going to meet that could be the next big deal, or when the market goes slow, if it does. Hopefully it never does, but if it does, you know, you have those connections, because people are always going to be buying houses. They're always going to be out there wanting a form of business. It's how are they going to connect with you to do that? So I love what you said about relationships there, Steve. That's good.
Yeah. And that's amazing advice too, about the networking piece. I get lazy about it sometimes. I think everybody does a little bit, but you know, cause you do have to, I enjoy it. I am a pretty extroverted person. I like getting out there and talking, but after you've been out all day and then you come home at 4 and there's a networking meeting across town at 6, you know, you have to make sure you can, you know, you keep their motivation and energy up for those types of events. Every time I network or go to social events and these meetups, my business prospers from it. I mean, it's always, I meet great people, I get good information. Sometimes I just learn new information, and it's not always an instant gratification thing. Sometimes it's people that I'm connected with that connect me to other people, and you start to see that after a couple of years in real estate. I mean, real estate's definitely not an instant gratification kind of business. You definitely have to foster, you know, create those relationships, foster them over time, and it all start coming to you. But it does take, you know, several years usually for most people to kind of get going. I got lucky in the fact that I went after investors and it worked, and anybody can do that. I mean, I recommend that to everybody. I mean, learn the investor world, know what because they're smart folks, know what they're going to be asking about, and just be a resource. And it's not as much of a sales game. It's more of a let's match game. It's like, let's connect you with the right properties. And if you've got enough of a buyer network, then if the right property comes along, let's throw it out to 20 guys. And I do that all the time. I throw it out to 15, 20 people and say, who wants this, you know, to effectively. Right. And it's worked over the years. I mean, it doesn't always work, but it works.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that piece, that part of it too, because I find with me throwing networking events now, a lot of the ones that don't show up are like, well, you know, things are slow. I don't really have the money to get out and things like that. Yeah. I encourage you to take Steve's advice. If you're listening to this, if you're an agent that's kind of in a slump, or if you're just getting into the industry, or just take real estate out, whatever you're doing. If you're in sales, and at all point you're in sales at some part of your job, get out and make new friends, make new connections. You're not always going to feel like it. There's times where I'm like, man, I could really go home and get some extra sleep or get some housework done myself. And I'm like, no, I choose to do that. And like you said, you always benefit from it. And not even that, you leave like you feel like you've accomplished something. So let's say if you're an agent and you're slowing down and you're not having that business, you're still going to feel like you're getting some win. Sometimes it starts by getting a little bit of win to get your confidence back up, to get you back on the journey of like succeeding again and stuff in the market. So I really hope you guys that are listening are really listening to what Steve's saying. This is a man that knows his stuff. He's all about educating himself and getting out and networking. That's what it is, no matter what level that you're on. So yeah. Let me ask you this, Steve. Let's go back. Sure. Let's back up 2018 when you decided to make the switch. Like, I know that kind of did that had to be a little scary, right? To leave something that you were so familiar with, to go in and be like, okay, I'm leaving this guaranteed salary for me working for myself as an agent.
100%.
What gave you the motivation to do that, to go through that? Sure.
Yeah. And it was, so I had a nice long career, 20 plus years in the corporate finance, always in the healthcare side. And I had some great jobs that were long-term jobs. Then I had a couple of jobs right there, right around. So I was 48 years old when I switched over in 2018. And I had a couple jobs in a row that went away, one due to acquisition. And then I got the new gig, and then that went away because they moved operations. And it was like, oh my gosh, here I am, 48. And I mean, you know, unfortunately, ageism is real in the corporate side. I mean, you get to a certain age and you're like, you know, you just feel the pressure of, hey, this 25-year-old may not have the experience I do, but he's a lot cheaper. And they, you know, you just know that the potential writing's on the table. So I was just tired of having my employment dictated to me at that point. So my wife, Lisa, the one I've been married to for 30 years, by the way, high school sweetheart.
Awesome.
She told me, she said, why don't you try real estate while you're looking for your next job in finance? So I took her advice because I'd been talking about it for a while. So I took her advice, took the exam, got lucky, got through it the first time. And literally from the time she said, hey, why don't you try this? Within a month, I had I passed the exam, got my license, and I was working at a brokerage. And from there, it was just game on. I was just head down on it. I was still kind of, looking for a job in the corporate finance side, but I was so excited about the real estate edge to it. And again, even on the front end, it's tough. I mean, I got lucky by getting successful pretty early on. But even then, I had, and this is a great story. My very first day as a realtor, I did an open house, and I just crushed open houses when I was on the front end. I did two every week. And for anybody who had an open house, and that's another thing I would recommend, just go to open houses. Not only are you, does it give you an opportunity to potentially meet an unrepresented buyer, which is the whole point of open house, is to have somebody come in the door. And going to $1 million open houses usually doesn't get it for you, because every one of those guys knows 15 guys like me. So sometimes that like half $500,000 and under open house is the perfect spot to try to meet somebody who doesn't, who's not represented or they're new to town. So, very first open house at a condo, I met a client, and they, a month later, we got them a house. So first day, first open house, I met a client. It wasn't that house, but it was a different house that we got them in. And I thought, I'm hooked. I'm addicted. Now, I didn't have another closing for five more months after that, but the snowball, things were snowballing in the background. I had a lot of things that were happening. I knew I was making tons of connections. I had some potential offers that didn't work through. And then 5 months later, you know, I had that next closing. And then after that, it was $1 million a month. And then the next year, it was $2 million a month, and then $3 million a month. But it was all, it all just kind of fell off, snowballed off from each other. So again, even though it looks easy, sometimes, you know, people put up a lot of stuff on social media, you know, saying just sold this, just put this under contract. I do the same thing. There's a lot that goes behind it. And there's a lot of things that aren't successes behind the scenes. You know, there's a lot of failures behind the scenes that you learn from all of those.
Right.
It does frustrating. And this year is a year, last year and this year, because of the interest rates going up, is a year where you start to see some more of those failures. You got to have thick skin.
Yeah.
And you got to have, and that's why I cast my net as wide as possible. You know, I try to go to as big of an area as I can. I work not only in residential and with investors, but I also work some commercial deals in land development. And starting to do my own builds here in the next few months that we've been working on for a while. And I also work the Smoky Mountains, which is 3 hours from here. But I've got it now, a system set up in that market.
Very smart. Yes. Yeah. That put yourself in hot markets like that too. You know, you got to start somewhere, people. Come on, if you listen to these gold nuggets here that he's throwing out at you.
Yeah.
You know, looking for things, looking for wins. Sometimes, like you said, I mean, like when you started, you said it might have been, what was you said, 5 months until your next commission check or
yes.
your first one. I mean, there have to be times where you're like, man, you know, did I make the right decision or not? But you stick with it. And I think so many people, Steve, they get so close to like almost getting there.
Yeah.
And then they get so discouraged that they just don't stick it out a little bit longer to get them through the finish line. And that's where all the abundance is and the abundance mindset. I'm all about that versus scarcity mindset. But, you know, not only that, you have brought your two children on with you now that is helping the Fry Group, which that has to be a proud dad moment, like a full circle moment to have your kids on board with you.
It's great. Yeah. And I don't take nearly as much advantage of having everybody together as I should. My wife is just a dynamo. She's great at operations and she's great at organization. And she, you know, she's always on me about, did you, you know, check back with that person? And you get so busy, you just, you know, it's difficult sometimes to just stay on top of everything. But I've got amazing resources around me, and it's my fault for not always leveraging them the way I should. But yeah, it is cool. It's cool to be all sitting in. We have like an apartment behind our house where we have a family office.
Uh-huh.
Everybody's got their desk, and we'll all be there at the same time. We got the whiteboard up. We'll have the TV or music going on in the background, but it's cool that is what our work life is.
That is
And yeah. And again, it's not always easy, but it beats the alternative, you know, definitely.
Absolutely. Well, you are a family. I mean, it's not always easy.
Yeah.
Sometimes Absolutely. Even when you don't work with family, it's always easy. But let me go back to your wife here too, because I want to hone in on this. I'm all about intentional congruence. And I think, if you choose to be married, you have to have a spouse that is going to support you, and you got to support them, and you have to have that full circle. And I'm all about mind, body, soul, and spirit. You know, you have to make sure everything's fed in that area. It sounds like your wife from day one was just a hard knock go-getter supporter for you. Like, we're going to bear our heads down. We're going to work hard. We're going to make this work. And she fully believed in you, because if you had somebody in the background saying, well, you better not make it fail, or are you doing leaving, you may have not been as inclined to be as successful as you are. But I would say a lot of that came from having a supportive spouse at home.
Oh yeah. 100%. Yeah. You know, and if it's, whether it's a spouse, a friend, you know, a kid, I mean, whoever it is, an uncle, a grandmother, whatever, who, you know, you've got somebody that helps to kind of, because it's tough. I mean, you find yourself, you know, feeling like you're just like banging your head against a wall, you know, and just running the marathon every time. So it's nice to have somebody that's there to kind of continue to push you and say, just keep going, because, you know, everybody's got that mindset to where they feel like, boy, this is, you know, should I look to do something else? You know, is this the right thing for me? And like you said, I had a 5 month spell between my first closing and my second one. But during that time, I was working 100 hours a week, you know, and I was just going and going and going to try to push towards that. And I don't want anybody to burn out in this industry. It's easy to do it, but guess what? In your first year, you can work 100 hours a week or 80 hours a week or 60 hours a week, whatever it is, but you can put the time in to make this successful, because it has, just about like any, not just real estate, but any industry and any company. I mean, you're an entrepreneur, you're starting your own business. Yeah. And it has huge rewards on the back end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I will say, my wife, I wish I would listen to her more, because usually she'll give me advice on something, and I'm like, you don't understand. You know, I'm on the front line. You're not right. You know, you're wrong. And then I think about it, or I come back and I'm like, she's right. And she's usually right. And I know that's a woman thing, but
hey, it's recorded. She can listen to this anytime she wants to now.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, I mean, and you know, if you've got a spouse there that's kind of giving you good sound advice, who's not emotionally tied to things like you are when you're in the middle of it, it's always good to stop and listen to what they're saying, and to kind of go through that. I mean, one of the things she's always been on me about is to create better systems and better processes, and you know, and I'm not that great about that stuff. I'm good at talking to people. I'm good at the real estate side. I'm good at looking for properties, finding deals, negotiating, contracting, all that stuff. But there's a whole big bag of worms behind you as far as setting up the right CRMs, the right systems, and, you know, and just follow up and all that stuff, whether it's client follow up, whether it's marketing, social media, I'm trying to get a little bit better at, definitely like everyone else is. But if I were to listen to her earlier on, it would have been, I think, an easier ride for me too, because you find yourself and you don't have good systems, you find yourself scrambling and always having to be the point person mm-hmm. on stuff or recreating the wheel, as opposed to already having a system that's kind of creating the wheel for you.
And it keeps you, like you said, on track as well. But what I'm hearing too, though, you also know your strengths, and then you also know what are not your strengths too, either. So you could delegate it out, or you could. You said you're always having to look like, what can I fix? What can I, you know? But one thing that I've learned by being around successful people is they don't spend a lot of time worrying about stuff. It's like shoot or aim, shoot, then readjust target as needed. Yeah. And I think that that's totally fine. People don't have to have it all figured out to get started. It doesn't have to be perfect. You can tweak as you go. You can put systems in place as you go. You can learn as you go. And I think that you truly are at a place now where people do look at you as a mentor because you've been so successful. And I know when I told people that I was going to have you on the podcast, they're like, oh man, I can't wait to hear that. Hear what he has to say, you know, get some nuggets from him and stuff. Yeah. So, you know, kudos to you and what you're building with your brand and your family and just your legacy in general. And I'm not sure really why the lights have went off in here, but I guess it just did. So I forgot the film still. So I look angelic on here with you today, Steve. I know on time we're running closer to it, but let me ask you this. What would be some advice that you would give somebody in the next 6 months in real estate? What do you need to do to position yourself within the next 6 months of what's going on in the market today?
Well, I think it does go back to the networking and getting out and connecting with people. I mean, you have a whole big world out there telling you how to do something by people that have never done it. And that's frustrating to listen to, because you have all these experts out there that don't have any experience in what they're saying to do. I mean, that's what social media is full of. But there's some really good folks out there, really good mentors, good advice to take. But a lot of it is just getting out and connecting with people that are way more experienced than you are.
Right.
You know, whether you're getting into real estate or you're getting into another industry, when you start out, I mean, you're thinking, okay, let me just get to this point, and then let me just get to that point. And you start just kind of those building blocks up. But I wish I would have done this earlier on, but if you start hanging out with and connecting with folks that are way higher up the chart than you are, all of a sudden your goals just get incrementally larger. But you're also around people that are giving you the right advice, so you don't spend 6 months, you know, doing the wrong thing or taking bad advice or doing lead generation where you shouldn't have done it because it's easier to do it this way. So there's plenty of people out there that aren't always up for sharing information, but there's a whole lot more people that are willing to give you advice and, you know, kind of be a mentor. And it doesn't have to be a formal setting. It could just be a friend group, and it could be, hey, can you introduce me to this guy? I know you know this person. Can you introduce me to that guy? And let's get together and talk shop. That's there's so much to learn from that. And I feel like that advances everyone's learning curve and in business so much.
I love that. You always got to be in rooms with bigger people. That is when I think my career like has really took off or really helped me. Would be when I got in rooms where these people were making, you know, easily $1 million a week. Some mm-hmm. not all of them, but some of them.
Sure.
And I looked at their lifestyle, and I looked at their hustle, and I looked at what they did. And my question to them was like, well, tell me your routine. Like, what is your morning routine look like? What is your daily routine look like? Because I knew that these people weren't playing around. And by doing that, it kind of exposed me and made me think bigger, because so many people we don't know what we don't know. And we're like, I grew up in a small town and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with having a 9-to-5 job at the electric company. If that's what you want to do, that's awesome. It takes everybody to do everything.
Yeah.
Ones that are in, that are entrepreneurs and they work crazy hours and they do things, you kind of need to have that guidance. And by being in rooms with people, if you're the smartest one in the room, I totally disagree with that. I think that you need to be, like you said, put yourself in rooms that people that are thinking bigger, that are doing bigger things, because there's always going to be somebody that that is, and it's going to keep you learning and eager to grow as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Well, Steve, I appreciate you. I always end the podcast with, what does it mean for you to be unstoppable? What does unstoppable mean to you?
Oh, I mean, great question. And I've seen some of your podcasts and there's been some really great answers on that. But I think for me, it's to be able to create an environment with my business and a structure so that I'm in control of it and I could take it as far as I want to. There's always going to be points where there's going to be roadblocks or people that try to push you down. But if you've got your good system in place, good people around you, then you can go as far as you want to. It's just a matter of how much you want it.
I love that. That is really a really good answer. Well, everyone, this is Steve Fry. And how can they find you online? Can you tell them how to get to your website and your socials?
Yep, absolutely. So our website is frygroupnashville.com. We're actually just actually changing it over. And so we're updating it even more than we had before. But please go visit it. It's got some really cool animation to it and some good search features on it for looking at properties. You can reach all of us naturally through that website. I'm on Instagram as well, Steve Fry Nashville, and Facebook. So, you know, all the socials. And if you want to reach me by email, it's steve@frygroupnashville.com. And Fry is FRYE.
Awesome. And you've got your active properties on there. I was looking at them today. I was like, oh, nice. Very nice. Very nice. But well, thank you so much. And you guys stay tuned to our next episode coming soon. Thank you.